You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of September 2nd, 2020. And are Fall Guys sentient?
I hope not. They're dying left and right. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Abor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. We're talking about video games. Oh, you know what? Actually, hold on. I forgot. I wanted to read a haiku we received.
Oh, this is good. This is a good one.
Okay, so last week, Scott and I, we were talking about Ghost of Tsushima, and I think we'd mentioned off the cuff, if you've got a haiku, send it our way. A listener actually did. Sven from Germany sent us a haiku. And now we will read it to you all because the haiku is amazing. And also, Scott will probably put in the Ghost of Tsushima music, which will make it that much better. Okay, here we go. A COVID summer. The guys talking Tsushima. 7 out of 10. What is so beautiful about that haiku, by the way, is after all the discussion of Ghost of Tsushima, it is a 7 out of 10. Like, it is the most 7 out of 10 game of 2020. That's nailed like it. that is the exact problem. The whole synthesis of this conversation perfectly encapsulated in that haiku. Thank you, Sven, for sending that in.
Yeah, thanks, Sven. You basically just demonstrated why we wasted an hour and a half of everybody's time in a haiku.
Okay, today we're talking about some other games, mostly games that we've been playing recently that have caught our attention for one reason or another. Scott, do you want to start us off with one I think you've played probably more of at this point, but I have played a little bit of?
Yeah. Well, we talking about Fall Guys?
Yeah, let's talk about Fall Guys.
I played a fair amount of Fall Guys. Fall Guys is...
Hold on. Have you won?
No, I have not won.
You have not claimed the crown. Okay.
Man, I'll tell you about the closest time I ever got. But like,
oh, okay, good. Well, it's story time.
Yeah, it's... Fall Guys is... What do they call this genre? I mean, it's kind of like a battle royale, but it's a knockout game, right?
I mean, this is a Mario Party game, right? And this feels like a Mario Party 2020. If Nintendo was ahead of the curve in regards to the internet and things, yeah, this is what they would make.
It's 60 cartoonish characters fall into a course, and then every round a certain number of them are eliminated until one is left standing as the ultimate fall guy.
Yes. It is definitely, I would say, a battle royale, even if it's not shooting people in the face.
Yeah. And then the main mechanic, generally speaking, is there's some sort of it's kind of like a combination of American Gladiators and American Ninja Warrior and Super Sloppy Double Dare. It's
Extreme
obstacle
elimination
course
challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's the My floor bad. Is lava for all you kids these days that are watching it on Netflix. I mean, it's an elimination obstacle course style game where you have to get to the end or you have to survive, you know, on a huge rotating block for a long time. And, you know,
I love these types of shows. Like, I've watched a lot of more than I care to admit of The Floor is Lava, even though that show is painfully overproduced. I have watched a good deal of Wipeout. Mm-hmm. I loved the MXC or the sort of Japanese show.
Yes.
All of that kind of stuff is so... I don't know what it is, man. I feel like I'm a pretty mature individual, but when it comes to just, like, pratfall and, like, ridiculous humor, I love me that kind of thing. And to the point where I'm genuinely surprised it took this long for a game of this style to be so wildly loved. And maybe there are other games like it, and I'm just not aware. This feels like, man, people are ready for it.
I mean, it is... I was trying to think back to something that was even something a little bit similar. And I just kept on coming back and getting stuck at the battle royale games, you know, which are essentially about shooting. They're not about the obstacle course style thing.
Although you could do both. I don't see why not. Like, add this to Call of Duty. Have like ridiculous walls that you have to shoot down to see whether or not that's the right way.
They really could do a pretty sweet Floor is Lava Titanfall mode.
I mean, look, we have you and I have shared so many free ideas about how to advance the battle royale genre.
There you go.
I'm fucking sick and tired of all of the copycats out there just coming out with shooters. Okay, mix it up a little bit. This mixes it up quite a bit. Tell me about your almost win.
So, generally speaking, the pace of the game is the first few rounds tend to be races because you can kind of eliminate a good chunk of people. I think it's 60 people at the max, and so you could get rid of like a good 20 people.
I think it always goes down to 40 or so, right?
Yeah, it hovers around that. And the game's pretty smart because, you know, people will lose connection and you know, people will drop out, you know, unintended. And so it's pretty smart about which games it chooses. But ultimately, you generally get down to, I think it's around 10. You know, it's not that many people. It's like 10 to 12 or something. Mm-hmm. And the final stage is a multi-tiered floor where the blocks fall away once you touch them.
So that's one of the last rounds. It's not the only last round.
Yeah. So this one that I was playing, it was that last round. And I was, it came down to like me and one other person, and we both, and I almost came back from the cliff. Like I had fallen and then just accidentally fallen through like three more levels because other people had already been down there like trolling around and killing boxes.
Yeah.
And so like it was an interesting thing because like I, staying on the top level is not necessarily the right strategy because you could just be removing the bottom floors for people to fall through. So anyway, I scraped by onto the very first level, and then it was like me and one other person, and then something happened and we both started falling at the same time, and I just happened to fall first.
Oh no.
But the other person was in the air.
That's so funny. Ugh, that's brutal. So the very second time I played, I almost won. I got first to the crown at the top of, it's basically the aggro crag.
Oh yes.
If you're one of those fans, another great show. At the top of the aggro crag, the crown is going up and down. Mm-hmm. And so you have to time your jump. I was first to the crown, but I was like, oh, you know, it's a little too dangerous. I'm not going to make that jump. So I waited
safe.
And someone else just came in and stole my spot.
Fuck.
Very bummed.
They seized the opportunity. The chanting from Batman: The Dark Knight Rises happened, and you didn't believe in yourself enough.
I think the thing I like about Fall Guys is it seems as though I know that a lot of people get very frustrated. For example, I heard my neighbor screaming so loud one night, over and over again for hours, swearing and cursing, using some frankly offensive language coming from the room across the street from me. And I could hear him playing, and I just knew based upon the words he was using he was playing Fall Guys. He was being like, fuck you, this yellow guy keeps grabbing me, like stuff like that, right? And I knew, it was so like funny. Oh my god, this guy is going, he's probably listening to me right now, in fact he was going batshit insane over it, and I loved listening to him because it was, you know, I was sort of living vicariously through him.
You could track his progress in the tournament through.
But like I think Fall Guys is one of those games that I think is just on the, just a little bit over the side towards luck and randomness for a lot of people's tastes.
Yeah.
But only just over a smidge, such that it then becomes much more inclusive for a lot of other people who don't feel as though they, you know, want to play something as rigorous or difficult as like a fighting game or something, but still want to play a battle royale game, right?
Yep.
So in that way, it's very accessible. I've played this with a lot of coworkers that I normally don't play video games with, and they've had a blast playing it as well. Because when you are winning, it feels like this is all me. I did it.
Yes.
And when you're losing, it feels like, oh, that sucks. That was kind of random. Yeah. And I think it walks that line really, really well for the type of like party family game that it is.
There's so many times where there's that one course where it just throws fruit at you on the conveyor belt.
Yes.
And like that shit, like you might as well just
toss
a coin.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Like,
yeah,
fuck,
I like
it.
That
you
one.
You don't know. It's like you could be doing great and then all of a sudden you get hit with three apples in a row or three peaches in a row where it's just like, okay, well, I guess I'm on the back of the pack now.
Yeah.
That's that. Yeah.
They also have one, the one that I like the most is when you're all collectively on like a platform, but there's like a wheel of walls rotating at you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool one because you can kind of, if you want, you can get close to the edge to see what's coming sooner and give yourself a little bit more space. But then if you're like me, you'll constantly be, I run that border. I'm like, you know, no risk, no reward, baby. You know what I mean? We got to get close. We got to live on the edge. And inevitably someone pushes me off or like I fall off of my own accord. But that sort of risk reward aspect of it is very cool.
That is the, I think maybe you referenced it earlier, but it's that when we were all collectively obsessed with that Japanese game show of like the human Tetris. Right. I get a very like human Tetris vibe off of 100%. That level specifically.
Yeah, I love that one. Two questions regarding Fall Guys. What do you think about people just trolling and like holding people?
I feel like that really started to increase recently. When I was playing earlier on, I didn't see as much of that. But now, every time when I get to the finish line, there's like a group of neighborhood toughs that are just there to troll people.
They're like extorting money out of you.
Yeah, like it'd be a real bad thing if, you know, you tripped here, you know? And it's like, get out of here.
The thing is, I do that now. That's the problem.
See, here's the thing. Every game will bring out the inner demon in people.
I mean, 90% of the time when I'm trolling and grabbing someone, it results in my death. You know? Because there's really not much you can do, right? It's like you can grab someone, but it doesn't really do anything other than kind of slow them down.
Yeah.
And you tend to be pushing in one of the directions. And so when they unhook themselves, you start flying in that direction. So it's very dangerous, but it's hilarious. So I will continue to do it.
Well, it's also just funny seeing people try to time it where they're like, okay, I'm only at, you know, the first 15 out of, you know, 40 people have passed. Yes. I have plenty of time to troll. But then, like, a huge chunk of people crosses over. Then they start panicking. You can see someone, like, detach and start running towards the line. Like, oh, no, I've flown too close to the sun.
I think the biggest mistake that they made in this game is having team-based levels or maps. Have you seen much of the sort of antagonism and hate towards Team Yellow?
No.
This is the thing.
I've been on Team Yellow and we did fine.
So essentially, I don't know, maybe the backlash has sort of died down a little bit. Maybe things have normalized. But there was a good long while where Team Yellow was sort of the agreed upon shit team. And as a result, all the teams... Okay, so for example, I'll just describe one of the maps. There's a map where each color has to collect eggs from the center of the room. And bring them back to their sort of little goal area. But other teams can come and steal an egg from that goal area, right? There's an incentive to all unify against one team because the team that has the fewest eggs gets kicked out, right?
Yeah.
And so there's
you don't a sort have to win. You just have to not lose.
Yes. Yeah. There's a sort of unspoken agreement that team is Team Yellow, no matter what, right? So, and because there's that unspoken agreement, if you're aware of this, you are then more inclined and incentivized to go attack Team Yellow with everyone else, right? Steal their eggs and defend your eggs specifically against Team Yellow. That is the best strategy, the dominant strategy to win. So this is like a weird case where, unspoken, we've all just agreed to shit on Yellow, and I don't know how you get out from under that. Like, how do you get out from under that norm?
Team Yellow needs to pull off a miraculous victory that goes viral.
Yes.
And then it turns them from, you know, the goat to the greatest, you know?
Or like, maybe you need to be in the middle or something. I don't know. There's got to be some solution, but I am excited by Fall Guys. I think it's cool, and I hope they add a lot more maps and levels this coming year.
I think the more I play it, the more... I think I need to play a few rounds every night, not like if I play an hour's worth of Fall Guys, I think it's too much.
Yes. Agreed, 100%.
It's like there are certain things where, and I think part of this just, I mean, I don't even mean this in a bad way, but this had to have taken them by surprise. You know, I mean.
Oh, the success?
Yeah, exactly. Because it just seems to have gotten so popular. And there are certain things where, there's like little quality of life things that I think would be really nice where, you know, I think it takes too long to get back into a match.
Yes, agreed.
You know,
in terms of quality of life issues.
Yeah, it's like too many like button presses to like just fire things up again. You know, like, why can't I have an instant retry instead of having to like go through the whole menu or whatever?
I mean, I think that they've made the patch. I haven't played it since they announced that they were going to make the patch, but they had not yet added the ability to invert the camera controls. Yeah,
right.
So aggravating.
I would also appreciate, I would actually stay in the matches longer having lost if I had a better camera controls. Like, give me a free cam, you know, like, I don't want to follow random people. And even following random people, you still have, just have to cycle through each one of them with the shoulder buttons. Like, there's no way to like intelligently do it. I just want a free cam, you know, like a, like, I want to be the broadcaster after that happens, you know.
A free cam would be cool.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an esports future for Fall Guys?
I think, to your point, it's just too random.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, I don't know if there's enough rhyme or reason to it, you know?
I could see it being like an interim thing in between like other matches of a real game, you know?
It does have a somewhat of a like destruction derby vibe to it.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably some skill, but you can also just get, you know, smashed and that's it.
Yeah.
I really want to play until I win one, having gotten so close. But like, you know, and of course the, you know, the five matches after that match, I, you know, flopped out in the second round or whatever. So it's just, who knows?
And it's only a matter of time, you know, just keep pushing,
just keep falling.
I do like how they've handled their social media account as well. Actually, Fall Guys has gotten like a lot of love. They're very sort of trolly. The spirit of Sonic lives on inside of a Fall Guy suit.
Very true. Oh man. That is, it's always, it's also kind of making me want to watch Homestar Runner. It just, those little guys remind me of him.
Yeah. Man, blast from the past, Homestar. All right, what else?
You go.
Okay, I recently played a game called If Found.
Okay.
This is a hard right turn, by the way, from Fall Guys. Where Fall Guys is this irreverent, silly, pure gameplay, party game experience. If Found is an interactive visual novel, essentially. This is made by a Dublin-based studio called Dreamfield Games, and it was published by Annapurna Interactive. And I think the thing that's most notable to me about this game is how unabashedly Irish it is.
Uh-huh.
It's strange to feel as though you're playing a foreign game. I think really the most times it feels like you're playing a foreign game, in all honesty, right? It's playing a Japanese RPG. Maybe you're playing Yakuza or something, right? Yep. That is steeped in Japanese culture, or Persona, or an RPG that maybe has these JRPG holdovers from that era, or maybe you're playing One Piece or whatever, right? Like, there's a certain sense that you're playing a foreign game. It's rare to feel like you're playing a foreign game from another English-speaking Western country, because games, for the most part, don't really carry with them. I guess the language of games tends to be one of, you know, systems in the games themselves. Yep. So I think it's pretty rare to feel as though you're really embedded in that space. Or, more often than not, the subject matter of the game is taking place in, like, outer space or in a fantasy realm, right? That's free of the sort of national boundaries or conversations that you might normally expect.
Yeah.
This game is, ironically, set in space. However, most of it is actually taking place in Ireland.
Right.
And the characters going through their experiences reference events, towns, objects, and use things that use Irish words to describe things in their lives. Hmm. And over all of the text that appears when you're looking at this, and a lot of this, by the way, is told through these sort of like beautiful drawings and watercolor drawings and text that you see written in like a journal. There are little like asterisks, which will tell you what the thing is. So it will say, oh, this is a reference to our primary schools. And in Ireland, this is how the schooling system works. Oh. And it's kind of a really cool experience. That's cool. I think the game itself is cool. I think it does a very good job of creating a sense of place, and it does a great job of sort of exploring the desire to sort of like want to erase certain parts of your past or experiences. But I would implore anybody who's listening to consider checking it out if you just want to check out a game that feels as though it's so personal or like nationally bound. Like, it feels as though you're hearing the story from someone who grew up in this small Irish town, and it is very specific to that experience. And there's no attempts to really universalize it. You know, they fully embrace the idea that, look, when people are in Ireland and they're shooting the shit, they're throwing around lexicon that you would right. never hear if you're not from Ireland. And that might be weird. And look, we know a lot of people don't watch foreign films because they don't like subtitles. Yeah. This is kind of like that. I mean, they're speaking in English, but you were pretty consistently going to be clicking on these things to find out, well, what is the actual context in Ireland and Dublin in particular? And this right. tiny town, you know, tiny town outside of Dublin. What is that actual context for folks who are living there? It's pretty cool.
It's really cool. I have been, you know, looking at it as you've been describing it. And I like the art style quite a bit. It's yep. like way different than a lot of the stuff that's out there, even in the visual novel space. Like it's very, there's like I like the sketchbook type quality that yes. they go with yep. the whole way through.
It feels very much like a sketchbook meets like a comic book. Yeah. I mean, in a way, it almost feels more like Scott Pilgrim versus the World or something yeah. in its storytelling. And even in terms of the location, right? Like one of the things that I find most memorable about that comic series, Scott Pilgrim, is it's so embedded in Toronto. They're always referencing Toronto and being yeah. Canadian and like references to Toronto and like tiny yeah. little places in there. And I don't know, but it just feels like it's rare in games to feel like you get an opportunity to travel to another place and live a very personal, real experience in the mm-hmm. modern world, right?
Yeah.
Because we get a lot of set dressing. You know, we yeah. get, oh, we've perfectly recreated downtown Washington, D.C., or mm-hmm. we've recreated New York, right? And the buildings are there. But, you know, Bill's place around the corner, or the mm. small dive bar that we go to, or the pool hall, right? Like the way that you actually experience your youth and the town that you grow up in, right, is not a map. Like my childhood was not a map of Santa Rosa and Sebastopol, California. You know, it is, it is like, oh, there's yeah. that's the Denny's where we would go play board games at like 1 a.m. and that, yeah. you know what I mean? And I think that feeling of being in those spaces, especially in a story about, you know, it's like a young girl, sort of trans coming of age family yeah. relationship stuff. I think really is effective, largely because it leans so heavily on creating that sense of place and that connection to the sort of real lived locations where those experiences happen.
Feels like I'm getting some Gone Home type of vibes from this, and I'm not yeah. just talking about the font treatment. It just feels like that there is a certain, you know, connection to it.
I was trying to think of other games that do this, that create a sense of like personal space. I think Gone Home is a good one because that yeah. feels very much like the Pacific Northwest. But Gone Home takes place entirely in like your one house in the yeah. woods somewhere or yeah. whatever. I don't know if I can really think of another game that feels so connected to like the physical places.
Yeah.
You know, actually in a weird way, I feel like Earthbound is a good example because Earthbound has all of these weird references to childhood and stuff. It feels yeah. a little bit like that, right? In the way that you navigate those towns.
Man, but will we ever return to Earthbound? I'm just wistfully thinking about our time.
Good game.
Ness, yeah. Cool. Did you finish it?
I did, yep. Yeah, it's very short. You could probably play the whole game in about an hour.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
Well, that's cool then, because then it's just a very directed story. It's not a, you know, huge, sprawling thing.
Totally. Yep.
Probably a nice palate cleanser after all of our other games that we've been complaining about recently. I mean,
dude, honestly, I played it after playing Ghost of Tsushima. I just like embraced it. I couldn't go outside because the smoke from the yeah. fires up north were outside. Like, it really was a sort of calming escape.
Yeah.
Physically to like another realm. I've never been to Ireland. I would love to go to Ireland. That seems great over there.
Yeah. Okay. Should we talk about another realm, the two-dimensional realm?
The two-dimensional realm, yeah.
We both started playing which one is this called? Paper Mario and the Origami King, right?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think so. Did you play the first Paper Mario?
I was just trying to think this. I think the only other Super Mario RPG I've ever finished has been Super Mario RPG, the original one on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I don't think I played much of the others. And I for sure skipped completely.
Yeah. I have also never played Paper Mario, but I know a lot of people love this game. Like, love this series, I guess. I think this is the only, second or third Paper Mario, so it's not, there's not a whole lot of them.
The third Yeah, it's weird. I always get a little bit confused as to what the lineage is, because there's also those DS games around the Mario and Luigi, you know, like Bowser's Inside Story. And
yeah. Oh, that one I played. That game's great.
It's weird. There's this other... there's this whole other side of Super Mario RPGs as a genre.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're pretty universally admired. You know, some people have their favorites and whatnot, but I feel like they tend to be solid... solidly reviewed every time they come out.
You know what I'm so surprised by with Paper Mario, and maybe I shouldn't be, because I actually think, now that you mentioned Bowser's Inside Story, this is also true for that game, but Paper Mario is surprisingly funny. Like, it is really, the humor in that game is really well written. It's self-referential.
Yep.
It's joking about the series.
Yep.
The enemies in particular, like the Koopas talking about stuff and like stacking up and being scared, there's just so much good humor, and it actually feels more like I'm just playing vignettes of comedic scenes than I'm actually playing a game, at least so far, right? Because the game's not especially challenging, but every time you go to a new area, I'm not like, oh, I gotta find all the treasures. It's like, oh, I gotta find all the people who'll crack witty jokes about being a Koopa in the Mario universe.
It was a Koopa specifically where there was an enemy, and it's also one of those Mario games where the cast of characters is all on friendly terms with each other.
Yes.
Against an outside. There's two flavors of Mario. Either Bowser is your enemy or Bowser is your bumbling friend. And this is the latter.
The assumption within, if we're trying to like solidify the meta universe, is it that Bowser kidnaps the princess as like a sort of dramatic play? And this, in all actuality, they're buds.
Well, I mean, it is canon. Miyamoto did confirm that he thinks of the Super Mario as a cast of players that put on plays.
So they're basically traveling minstrels.
Basically,
comedians.
They're a troupe, essentially.
Feels most like that.
It is. It is very similar to that. And I think that, to your point about the self-referential stuff, there was a Koopa that I ran into, and he was worried about the enemy that was across the screen. And he's like, I would go after him, but what would I do? Run at him in a straight line, or like walk slowly towards him in a straight line? And it's like, I guess that's what you would do. You know, you're a Koopa. But there's just a lot of that sort of stuff in there that's pretty charming. And the way that all of the enemies interact is a funny representation of how they would interact in a 2D space.
Yep. It also looks totally gorgeous. I think the idea of a world made out of paper is great. It's super cool.
Yeah.
I liked the guy. Did you find the tree, the ancient tree that you can grow?
Yeah, where you do. They do the like the kind of Motown song at the end after you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that feels like it was given a lot of love and care to both write that song and then animate this tree who grows like a little sprout, and you think that's it. And then he just bursts up into the sky. Very funny.
Well, and also the game is not voiced. It's just, it's, you know, Star Fox style, you know, Sim style mumbling characters. But in that song, there are real lyrics, but the mumbling is going along with the lyrics. And so it's just kind of a funny combination of things that, I am satisfied that I'm now getting to the point where the game itself is a little bit more challenging.
I'm not that far, I guess.
It's not extremely challenging, but every once in a while I will still mess up and not get like, the thing that we didn't even talk about is it's a turn-based battling system.
Yeah.
Except that you are in the middle of a series of discs, and you can spin the discs around or move the discs backward and forward from the opposite ends of each other to like line the enemies up in a grid. And if you line them up, then you can attack them more efficiently and you get bonuses and stuff. So it's kind of like a slide puzzle game every time you get into the battle. And I'm finally now getting to the point where every once in a while I won't perfectly line the slide puzzle up.
Yeah. I mean, it gets pretty complicated. Yeah. You know, they just start spraying those dudes on the map and like spinning it around seven times. Yeah. It's very much like a puzzle game. I kind of wish it wasn't always just like a one shot kill when you line them up perfectly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you gotten to the point where there are Paragoombas, the Goombas with the wings on them?
No. Do they move?
They don't necessarily move, but it's not a one-shot kill. Like the first time you jump on them, they'll lose the wings, but they'll still be on the field.
Oh, right. That makes sense. Oh, interesting.
And then they can reposition themselves, and then you go through another slide round to like line them back up.
Yeah. I found myself generally not that interested in that combat system. I think that's probably the biggest thing impeding me going back to it more consistently.
Yeah.
But I think if that sort of system matures as the game progresses, then yeah, I think I could be entertained.
I'm looking forward to it because it's also, I've also gotten to the point where it's actually relevant to call in the toads from the audience.
Call in the toads.
Because some of the stuff they do is basically your whole currency is Super Mario coins in this game, and you can spend coins to call in from the stands watching you toads. And some of the things they do are actually reshuffle people on the board. And oh. So... instead of having it be as difficult when you're reshuffling, the toads can push an enemy back and forth or whatever to line them up more efficiently.
Right. And it's more powerful the more toads you have, right?
The more toads you have and the longer you kind of hold down the button to... Because it costs... Basically, you just spray coins onto the field of battle and the toads just jump in and, you know, snatch them all up and then do some damage on the way out.
I remember as a kid, we would play a game where... I don't know if this is like a Mexican thing or what, but like you just, someone would grab a bunch of coins and then throw them into the air, and then kids would just scramble to get the coins. It was basically like a impromptu pinata. You just toss it in the air. It's kind of like that.
Pocket pinata.
Yeah. Like pocket pinata. Yeah, exactly.
The other thing that you can do, I don't know if you have played around with this, is you can spend coins to get time back on the sliding. So basically you have 30 seconds to slide the puzzle around. And once it's done, the battle is locked in. But you can spend coins to get more time back onto the puzzle.
Honestly, like, I think I get too anxious thinking about spending my money. I know that there's a lot of Mario coins, but honestly, the first time I did it, I was like, uh-oh, like, I don't know how much money was... Should I have gone longer? Should I have not gone longer, you know? I've been watching a lot of...
It makes you feel really dumb when you, like, put in, like... 200 coins worth and realize you only need to make one move to do it perfectly, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I've been watching a lot of reality TV shows where they like redo houses. And people are overspending, always overspending. And so when I'm in Paper Mario, I'm always like, well, I don't know. I'm probably going to need this later. I better not spend it all now. So
in this economy, how can I afford this slide puzzle?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I will, especially now that it's getting a little bit more interesting, I'm gonna keep going with it, because I also just want to see, I want to see the rest of the cast, you know, I want to see the other Mario characters and like see how they you know, interact.
Yeah, I'll keep giving it a shot. I have spent way fewer hours playing the Switch during COVID quarantine than I did beforehand, because I'm just not on public transportation, so essentially 2 hours of commuting time has gone that I otherwise would have spent playing the Switch. I now spend that time sleeping and feeling sad about the world. So,
I mean, I was telling Hana this the other day. It's like my commute has just turned into more work. Where it's like the day has expanded early and late. Real. You know, where it's like, oh, cool. Now where I would used to be on the train, I'm now working in a meeting. And then I was like, wait a second. This is exactly why they made the Nintendo Switch.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Just put it under camera view and no one is the wiser.
Oh, very smart. That's what I need to do. I should bring my dock in here, you know? If you're listening, boss, that's just a joke.
That clicking is my keyboard. Don't worry.
I have 100% heard people turn on their Switch in a meeting.
They're like, market research, market research.
Yeah.
Just because you yell market research doesn't make it market research.
It's my kid. My kid's in here. Sure, bud. Sure.
You don't have a child.
Yeah.
It's cool. Well, I'm glad we're having... Oh, so one preview, actually. We both... we realized that there was hope for the world when we collectively realized we were approximately 2 weeks away from Spelunky 2 releasing.
My goodness. Cannot wait. I was telling Scott before the show, if there's one thing that can save 2020, it's Spelunky 2.
Yeah. So, but it's nice to have a little spate of games in between. So it's been fun.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right. We will leave it there for this week. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
and experiencepoints.net is our website. If you like the show, tell a friend, spread the word, leave us a review.
Preferably in haiku form.
Preferably in haiku form. Oh, man.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. There's a place you go to.